Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Order has been restored in Kazakhstan's capital days after violent mass protests.
However, the calm has come at a price. Authorities in Kazakhstan say that more than 160 people died in the violence.
Plus, Novak Djokovic is released from detention in Australia following a court ruling, though his legal battle may not be over. And a look at the major questions shaping earnings season as companies ready their quarterly results. It's Monday, January 10th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. New Yorkers are struggling to come to terms with the deadliest residential fire in the city in decades. Sunday's blaze at an apartment building in the Bronx left 19 people dead and dozens more injured. New York Fire Department Commissioner Daniel Nigro said the fire started with a malfunctioning space heater on a lower floor.
The door to that apartment, unfortunately, when the residents left, was left open. It did not close by itself. The smoke spread throughout the building, thus the tremendous loss of life and other people fighting for their lives.
An investigation into the cause and spread of the fire is ongoing. Authorities in Kazakhstan say they have restored order in the country after several days of protests over social and political discontent. Internet service has also largely been reestablished in the capital, Almaty. Authorities say more than 160 people, including civilians and law enforcement personnel, died in recent violence. Ann Simmons is the Journal's Moscow bureau chief and says Kazakhstan's president had asked Russia to help restore order in the country.
Russia's defense ministry says that it's going to deploy around 2,500 troops to Kazakhstan, but that number could go higher. It's important to note that Russia's venture into Kazakhstan, although invited by its leadership, comes at a pretty critical time for the Kremlin. Russia is headed into high-stake talks this week with the US and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, and with European security officials, and the hot-button topic is going to be Ukraine.
China has reported its first domestically transmitted cases of the Omicron variant, sparking the mass testing of residents just weeks before the country hosts the Winter Olympics. The new cases were in the port city of Tianjin, not far from Beijing. In a bid to contain the spread of Omicron, Chinese authorities have erected checkpoints between Tianjin and Beijing. The response is part of China's COVID-zero policy, which aims to eradicate coronavirus through lockdowns and mass testing. And tennis star Novak Djokovic has left the Australian hotel where he had been detained since Thursday. Judge Anthony Kelly overturned the government's decision to cancel Djokovic's visa. Authorities had said he wasn't exempt from rules requiring travelers to Australia to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But government lawyers say they could still cancel Djokovic's visa on grounds including public interest. Judge Kelly suggested that could have serious consequences for the player, including banning Djokovic from Australia for 3 years. Such a sanction could also end the 34-year-old's chances of adding to his 9 Australian Open titles. The tournament begins on January 17th. Supply chain backlogs are roiling the new home market. In the past year, there have been shortages of everything from windows to timber and resin, which is used for a lot of home building products. And all of that is upending efforts to ramp up construction, limiting home buyers' choices, and causing some new owners to move into unfinished homes. For more, we're joined by finance reporter Julie Steinberg. Julie, the supply chain backlog isn't new, obviously, but why is this affecting construction now?
What we're seeing is a colliding of various trends. So home builders have increased activity in the past year, and that was in response to robust home buying demand and a shortage of homes. So there was a surge in demand for homes in late 2020 and early 2021. We're seeing that now collide with the realities of the supply chain issues and effectively worsening what's happening in an already hot housing market.
And how is that impacting the housing market?
Yeah, so basically you have fewer completed homes ready to be sold, so it's compounding the pain for sure. And what is happening is that many builders are selling houses later in the construction process when they can better predict their costs and schedule. Some are limiting options for what is actually available for those houses, whether by way of floor plans or design features. So definitely having ripple effects both amongst very plain aesthetics, like what your house is going to look like, but also whether the house is actually going to exist by the time you want it.
And what does all of this mean for buyers?
So a few different things. It means that buyers are waiting longer and moving into houses that aren't complete. For example, one company sold homes without gutters and installed them after the buyers had already moved in. And on the cost side of things, the costs have been passed on to the buyers so far, although some builders are getting wary of that, given that home prices have surged in the past year. But more perilously, if mortgage interest rates continue rising, buyers might face higher borrowing costs if their home closings are delayed.
I guess if you get the gutters eventually, doesn't matter if there's a small delay. Is there any suggestion that this backlog is letting up and that things might improve?
So some supply chain delays for some products showed signs of easing at the end of last year, but builders are still saying it's taking weeks longer than normal to finish homes. So I definitely think it's going to take some time for this trend to ease.
Julie Steinberg is a finance reporter for the Journal. Julie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And coming up, earnings season is here with possible rate hikes, inflation fears, and uncertainty surrounding record valuations weighing on the minds of investors. We'll have more on what to watch as companies start reporting results after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
The latest earnings season has kicked off, the first showing the impact of Omicron on businesses. It could prove to be an inflection point for the stock market after years of impressive gains and inflated valuations. And to keep the momentum going, especially as the Fed prepares to raise interest rates, maintaining earnings growth will be as important as ever. Karen Langley covers the stock market for the Journal. Karen, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Karen, what's the fundamental test that this earnings season presents for the market?
So in every earnings season, investors want to make sure that companies' results match their expectations and also see what executives have to say about the future. But now that the Federal Reserve is preparing to raise interest rates, some analysts are thinking that the valuations investors are willing to pay for stocks may come under pressure. And that means there could be even more of a need for companies to show profit growth if stocks are going to continue to move higher.
Is the fear that this could be the earnings season that could perhaps start sending record stock valuations downward? Is that the concern?
Most investors I talk to say they're feeling pretty optimistic about the earnings season, but we are expecting that the really high level of earnings growth that we've seen in the most recent quarters, back when profits were being measured against the really early parts of the pandemic, we're expecting that those earnings growth rates are going to start coming down to more normal levels.
Yeah, so what exactly are analysts expecting to see in terms of corporate profits?
So analysts are forecasting the profits from companies in the S&P 500 group to about 22% in the fourth quarter of last year. That's compared to a year earlier. And so that is like strong earnings growth on an absolute level, if that is what companies deliver. But it's a slowdown of the really high levels of growth that we had been seeing.
Right. It's kind of a pickle we find ourselves in when even strong growth may not be enough to keep up with exceptionally strong growth that we've seen for so many quarters now.
If there is this slowdown in growth, earnings are still growing. And so that doesn't mean that stocks are going to fall by any means, but just that the really outsized stock returns of last year, a lot of analysts aren't necessarily expecting that we're going to match that in 2022.
Yeah, I guess it's all relative. And it also sounds like given the unpredictability of COVID-19, supply chain disruptions, labor issues, there's quite a bit of context that investors will be reading into about what's said on earnings calls this season, as opposed to just what's in the numbers. Is that right?
That's right. Investors like to say that the stock market is forward-looking. They're trying to figure out what the prospects are ahead for companies that they might want to own or sell. And so if the past quarter's results were to really change their expectations for the future, that's something that could cause a market reaction. But I think investors are preparing even more so to focus on the forward outlook from executives about if they're thinking that the resurgence and pandemic could really put a damper on business, if managing prices increases, you know, whether for labor or materials, if those things are problematic, or if, you know, instead executives feel like they can raise their own prices even more and pass along those costs to the customers.
Yeah, even though we have been expecting a rate hike announcement for a while, markets were still spooked by Fed minutes last week suggesting the first increase could come in March. What's the investor concern here?
I think investors were surprised by the faster timeline for raising interest rates, but also concerns that the speeding up shows the Fed is increasingly worried about inflation and feels that it might need to be more hawkish than thought just a few months earlier. So the concern for investors isn't necessarily just over which particular month that rate increases might start, but also the uncertainty that if there is this uncomfortable situation with high inflation, how much monetary tightening might ultimately be needed to deal with it.
So if we start to look at the calendar for these earnings releases, bank stocks, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo will be reporting later this week. That's a sector where interest rate increases, like the ones we are expecting from the Fed, could have a big impact. What are we expecting there?
Banking is an area where rises in interest rates is generally a positive for business. That allows banks to charge more for loans, helping their profitability. And so I think that investors will be very interested in what executives have to say on that.
Tech is also being closely watched too, right? Particularly after software stocks plummeted last week. How significant is the tech sector for investors who are trying to gauge market momentum right now?
The technology sector is the largest in the S&P 500, and so whatever it does really is critical for performance of like the broad stock market gauge. Investors that I talk to tend to see different parts of the tech sector differently in that they're pretty optimistic for how the really large, profitable, high quality, they like to say, tech companies are going to perform, but investors are growing a little more leery of some of those high-flying tech stocks that are projecting to achieve profitability in the future, how those companies might do as interest rates are expected to rise.
Karen Langley covers the stock market for the Journal. Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we will get answers this week to some of the major questions that could shape earnings season. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell will face Senate questioning on Tuesday in connection with his nomination to serve for a second term. And U.S. inflation data out Wednesday will also be closely watched amid speculation that consumer prices could rise 7% year on year. And finally, most of the world might have watched season 3 of Succession, but nobody watched it win the Golden Globe for Best Drama Series last night. That's because the 79th Golden Globe Awards kicked off Hollywood's award season on Sunday in pretty unusual fashion, with no red carpet, no audience, and no televised ceremony. NBC chose not to air the awards amid controversies around representation and ethics that have dogged the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which hosts the event. Awards were still given out, though. Jane Campion's Western The Power of the Dog won for Best Motion Picture Drama, while Steven Spielberg's adaptation of West Side Story snagged the prize for Best Musical or Comedy, proving there is a place for old school musicals somewhere. And that's what's news for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.